Welcome to Torah Imecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Tzipora Weinberg, and today we will be studying the Navi Yeshayahu, Perek 44. After the previous prakim that came to call the nations to redemption with Kol Korei, a voice that calls, Nachamu Ami, Harimi Bakoach Kolech, all the voices attempting to awaken a nation in despair, having forsaken the possibility of rescue, reminding Bnei Israel that they are Bini Bechori, my eldest firstborn son, and enabling a taste of salvation, now our parak comes to describe how that connection will manifest itself when the time of Geula appears. Ve'ata Shema Yaakov Avdi V'Yisrael Bacharti Vo. As we discussed in a previous parak, who is the Eved, who is the servant? It's the nation, it's Klal Yisrael. We are the ones that represent those loyal to Hashem. And from Klal Yisrael emerges the Mashiach. Ko amar Hashem, osecha v'yotzrecha mibeten ya'azrecha, al tira avdi Yaakov v'yishurun bacharti vo. Another time going through the concept that Hashem's choice of Bnei Yisrael is primal and irreversible. This is the motif of the songs upon Shabbos' end. As we emerge from the refuge of that holy day and into the trials of the week, we say, don't fear, this is your armor and your delight. Whatever life may bring, Hashem is with you. Ki etzak mayim al tzamei v'noznim al yabasha, etzok ruchi al zarecha uvirchasi al tzeetzaecha. Just as Hashem pours water onto arid land and rain that awakens and invigorates, so too will He send new spirit to energize the descendants of Yaakov, whose souls are thirsty for these curative waters. V'tzamchu b'vein chatzir ka'aravim al yivlei mayim. And the Jews will grow swiftly like reeds that grow near water, because they're reliant on the proximity to water to flourish. In Perek Mem, in Perek 40, we spoke of the wizened and dried out quality that Klal Yisrael were reduced to because of their exile. And now here, the description comes of just how they will come to life again. And as in the times of the Midbar, after the sin of the Egel, the golden calf, Moshe called Mila Hashem Elai, and the tribe of Levi, Shevet Levi, answered the call, now all of Klal Yisrael will approach Hashem again. With Zeyomar La Hashem Ani, V'Zeyikra V'Shem Yaakov, V'Zeyichtov Yado La Hashem, U'V'Shem Yisrael Yichaneh. Everyone will identify themselves and their lineage. In recounting the contentiousness of the rift with Korach, the Torah doesn't list Yaakov as Korach's patriarch, as per Yaakov's request at the end of his life, B'kahalam al teichad kevodi, don't unite my honored name with that group. When Bnei Yisrael did not act properly, they corrupted the chain that linked them to their pious forefathers. But now we see proof of the opposite. Bnei Yisrael returned to their roots, and they proudly bear the connection to our illustrious forebears. And that's what this pasuk is saying, with examples of how different people create that association. Zeh yomar l'Hashem ani, one says it out loud, I belong to Hashem. V'zeh yikra v'shem Yaakov, another one calls himself with the name Yaakov. V'zeh yichtov yado l'Hashem, and another writes with his hand that he is belonging to Hashem. U'v'shem Yisrael yichaneh, and he calls himself with the name Yisrael. And now from Psukim 6 to 21, there's a long grouping that describes the Navi Yeshayahu mocking Avodah Zarah, and we'll soon see why he does that. In the first of this set, we hear and see the grandeur of Hashem in contrast with futility of idols. Ko amar Hashem melech Yisrael v'goalo, Hashem tzevakos, ani rishon v'ani acharon, umibaladi ein Elokim. I am the first, says Hashem, I am the last, and there's no other God but me. We remember this pasuk from our segment of Malchios, the portion of the Tefillah on Rosh Hashanah, when we say it, Hashem is the King and the Redeemer. It's not just an action that He does, it's His essence. He is eternal, He is unique. Umi chamoni yikra v'yagideha v'yarcheha li misumi am olam, v'osios v'asher tavona yagidu lamo. Who can tell me of another that can do the same? Come up and say it. Just as I foretold the future, show me of another that can tell the future events that will come. Now, why is Hashem juxtaposing these two? Obviously, Hashem is a force, and the other, the comparison here in the Psukim, is nothing, is zero, is futile. What is the reason for this juxtaposition? And the next pasuk gives us the clue. Al tifchadu va'al tirhu, halo me'az yishmaticha v'yigadati, v'atem eidai, hayesh Elohami baladi, v'ein sur bal yadati. Al tifchadu. The reason is because B'nai Yisrael are intimidated. They are frightened. The shrines and idols that they see before them are large and extravagant, and the festivals and holidays that surrounded them were decadent and grandiose. They were overwhelming to the Jews, and it caused them concern. So Yeshayahu goes about in a form of parody in order to reduce the glare of their presentation and minimize their strength by revealing their true essence. Don't worry, don't be afraid. I was there from the very beginning, says Hashem. Yotzrei pesel kulam tohu, v'chamudehem bal yo'ilu, v'edehem heima bal yir'u u'bal yidu l'man yevoshu. Those that create the Avodah Zarah are working for nothing, and everything that they treasure can actually do nothing, as they themselves testify. They don't look, they don't think, and ultimately they will be ashamed. Miatzar el ufesel nasach, levilti ho'il. Who actually is going to make and fashion a god that can do nothing? What kind of a person does that? Hein kol chavei rav yevoshu v'charashim heima me'adam, yiskaptu chulam ya'amodu yifachadu yevoshu yachad. And so everyone that is a part of creating this process of creating the Avodah Zarah will be ashamed, because these are just craftsmen. They're charashim. They're human beings. So now let's take a look at them, says Yeshayahu. Let them all stand up and be afraid and be embarrassed. And the psukim go through each type of craftsman that creates the Avodah Zarah. Charash barzel ma'atzad ufa'al ba'pecham uva'makavos yitzrehu va'yifalehu bizra'a kochol gamra'ei ve'en koach lo shesamayim va'yif. This is a craftsman who works with iron, and with his tools he works over charcoal. He fashions it, he makes it by hammering it, but he works with the strength of his own hand. He's a human being. He's limited. If he goes hungry, then he's going to be weaker. And if he doesn't drink, he's going to be faint. Charash etzim natakav yisarehu vasered yasehu b'maktuos uvam chugah yisarehu v'yasehu kisavnis ish kisiferes adam l'sheves bayis. You have a carpenter now, and he very carefully, with all of his tools, measures with a line, he marks out the shape, he creates this figure, this tzura, this construct, and he works very hard on it. And whether in the Mefarshim here differ, whether this is a man or a woman, or a man and a woman, that ultimately do what? They just, l'shev es bayis. It sits in the house, it has this beautiful look, but it has no power. L'chraslo arazim v'yikach tirza v'alon v'ya'ametzlo ba'atze ya'ar nata oren v'geshem yigadal. And then this carpenter processes wood in the following manner. Either he takes the cedar trees that are already in the forest and he sets them aside, or he plants new fir trees and he waits for the rain to make them grow. And then v'hayala adam l'va'er v'yikach mehem v'yacham af yasik v'af alechem af yifal el v'yishtachu asahu v'hesel v'yisgad lamo. He takes some of this wood that he's chopped up and prepared. He takes some of it to warm himself, and some of it he uses to build a fire to bake bread. But with the leftovers, he also decides he'll make a god out of it and he'll worship it. And then he fashions an idol and bows down to it. Chatzio saraf b'mo esh, al chatzio basar yochel, yitzlet zali, v'yisba, af yachom v'yomar he'och, chamosi ra'isi ur. Part of it he burns in a fire, and that he roasts meat on, and then he eats that roast, and he's satisfied, and he warms himself, and he says, oh, I'm warm, I can feel the heat. V'she riso la'elasa, l'fislo, yizgadlo, v'yishtacho, v'yaspalela, v'yomer, hatileni, ki eliata. And with the leftovers, and we hear the sense of parody coming through, that with his leftover resources that he has lying around, he just makes that carving, and he bows down to it, he worships it, and he prays to it, and says, save me, you're my God. Lo yadu v'lo yavinu ki tachmer osenehem me'askil libosam. These people have no judgment. They have no wit or wisdom. Their eyes are covered over and they can't see. Their minds and they can't think. V'lo yoshev libo v'lo das v'lo svuna lemar chetzio sarafti mo'esh v'af afisi al gechalav lechem etzle basar ve'ochel v'yisrol so'eva aseh levul eitz eskod. They don't think to themselves, listen, I just burned part of it in a fire, and part of this same structure, this same natural resource I baked bread with, and then I roasted meat and ate it. And then I decided that I'll make the rest of it into something I'll bail down to. That's a thought process that they don't consider. Ro'eh efer lev, husal hitahu, v'lo yatzil es nafsho, v'lo yomar, halo sheker bimini. These people are running after ashes. And their mind that has been really deluded has caused them to be led astray. He can't save himself. He never says to himself, this thing in my hand is a fraud. Zachar ela Yaakov Yisrael ki avdi ata yitzarticha eved li ata Yisrael lo sinasheni. Just remember that you, Yaakov, are my servant. I made you. I formed you. And please never forget me. So the psukim that are going through this process of creation of the idols show that the way they utilized the important parts and then the leftovers were made for something for them to bow down to tell Klal Yisrael that no matter how impressive these shrines and these idols seem and the entire rituals that surround them seem, at the end of the day, they're manufactured and thus they are simply and utterly powerless. How might this message be relevant for today? We might think, oh, idolatry, we have no connections to this today. But if we take a closer look, we see just how precisely intuitive these words are to our times. When else has our culture been so completely enraptured by the creations and creativity of human invention? And the problems we've created are man-made as well. The need for status, the dependence and craving for physical achievements. If a person would know that there is real value and real happiness to be found solely with a deep connection to Hashem, he would distance himself from preoccupation with Ma'aseh Yidei Bnei Adam, with man's handiwork. And so these words, Zachar Ela Yaakov, remember the process, remember that wealth and materialism don't bring a person happiness. Remember, you're my servant. And with that remembrance comes true joy. Don't abandon me, says Hashem. Yitzarticha, I created you. We just finished discussing the items that people create, but you were created by me. They deny that they were created by Hashem and they give the credit to idols, but you know the truth. And now the pasuk we are familiar with from the tefillah, from the davening during Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Machisi cha'av pisha'echa v'cha'anan chatosecha shuva elai ki ga'alticha. I sweep away your sins like a passing cloud, your transgressions, your averos are like mist. Come back to me, return to me, because I am redeeming you. In Gemara Masechah Sanhedrin, there's a discussion of what will happen first. Will the redemption happen first and then Klal Yisrael will do teshuvah? Or the opposite, will redemption be contingent upon the teshuvah, the repentance process? Chumash Devarim, Parshas Nitzavim, says the order is first, Vishavta ad Hashem Elokecha, that first you return to Hashem, Vishamata bekolo, k'chol asher anochi mitzavecha hayom. You listen to Hashem's voice, everything that he tells you today, all of the mitzvos, vishav, and return, vishav Hashem Elokecha es shevoscha, v'richamecha v'kibetzcha. And after you do that, then Hashem will return all of those who have been settled in foreign lands and gathers you up again for the redemption. But here's the novelty, here's the difference, here's the chiddush in Yeshaya where it says now, first, machisicha av pisha'echa, first I forgave you, and then you can do teshuva, reversing this contingency. Once the ge'ula comes, it's a different story. Hashem won't wait anymore for the redemption. Once the ge'ula is upon us, we will all be gathered up, and then we will return to Hashem. Then the next pasuk comes and describes how that will happen, and all of Bnei Yisrael will rejoice as they leave exile together with all of the Bria. And in an amazing way, the sky, the earth, the depths of the earth and the mountains all spring up to say thanks to Hashem. Ranu shamayim ki asa Hashem, hariu tachtios aretz, pitzchu harim rina, ya'ar v'chol etzbo. They're all going to show their happiness and joy in singing because Hashem, ki ga'al Hashem Yaakov v'Yisrael yisba'ar, because Hashem has redeemed Yaakov and glorified himself throughout Yisrael. And then we have Psukim 24 to 28, in which Hashem turns around the kingdom of Koresh and helps him to be king and shepherd, giving Koresh strength so that he will bring back Jews to Yerushalayim and bring and rebuild the Arei Yehuda, the cities of Yehuda. Ha'omer l'choresh ro'i, Hashem calls Koresh's shepherd, v'chol cheftzi yashlim, and he's going to fulfill my purpose, le'mar l'Yerushalayim tibaneh, v'heichal tivaseid, to tell to Yerushalayim that she will be rebuilt, and to the heichal, meaning the Beis HaMikdash, it shall be founded again. So what we are seeing here is that this geopolitical reality that was Koresh's kingdom, the phenomenon that made him emperor of the free world instead of Babel, was not because of global politics, as a pundit might have explained it at the time. But instead, behind the scenes, we see the entire reason for all of this was so that this new king, this new empire, was structured to allow Eretz Yisrael for Am Yisrael. Some can see only the externals, but the internal reality until today that it is all because of Am Yisrael and Toras Yisrael. Thank you for studying together Le'iloi Nishmas Riva Schwab, Rivka Bas Alexander Sender.